She has your Bibles with you today. And I invite you to turn again to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, starting in verse 11, Peter says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holiness?" Or excuse me, in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and anxious unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the element shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and to count at the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstableness, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. I'm going to stop reading at that portion of scripture today. Thinking today about a word right now. It is the word waiting. Just the very thought of the word waiting brings a lot of different things to our minds and our hearts. We think about waiting for certain events, waiting in long lines, waiting in traffic, waiting at the doctor's office, waiting while we're on hold on the phone, waiting for vacation to finally arrive. Be honest, none of us really enjoy waiting. Seems like we are constantly waiting for something all the time. I read once an interesting statement found in a studied and said to you that the average person will spend 5 years of their life waiting for something. I don't doubt that a bit. Seems like so much of our lives are still waiting for different things. Peter in this chapter has been talking about the coming of the Lord. He preached last Sunday in the verses just prior to what I read today. Peter was talking about looking for the Lord's return. And he is writing to the people that in their hearts really believed that the Lord would return. The problem was a lot around them were saying, well, where is he at? We have heard all our lives that Jesus is coming, but he hasn't come yet. So they asked us, where's the promise of his coming? Peter responds to them, says that you can't count the Lord as slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he said in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come. There will come a day when Jesus shall return. Peter said that the reason he hasn't come yet is because of his long suffering. God has given time for people to be saved. But in the portion I've read, Peter uses a phrase of words three times that captured my heart. Peter says in verse 12, looking for. Then in verse 14, Peter says that seeing that you look for such things. Verse 13 says we according to his promise look for new heavens and new earth. Peter says you're looking for what? And he says look for twice. That word look or looking simply means to wait for something or to expect something to fully happen. Peter says that you're waiting for the Lord to come. And so are we. But here's my question today. What are we to do while we wait? What are we to do while we're waiting? I found three things in this passage that I believe answers that question I want to quickly share with you today. First of all, while we wait, we must recognize God's first purpose. What is, you say, God's purpose for us? Well, the idea of being waiting for the coming of the Lord isn't the idea that we say, well, I am saved, my children are saved, my loved ones are saved, so now I'm just going to sit down and wait. That isn't the idea. Verse 11, Peter says, seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Peter says that you need to examine your life. He says that word manner. What manner of persons ought ye to be? The word manner speaks of being what sort. Put it in my words. Peter says, you ought to understand what five kinds of person that you ought to be waiting for Jesus to come. So, preacher, what kind are we to be while we wait? I believe Peter is saying that we ought to live by the right standards. He says in the text that we ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. That word conversation that is used here, the meaning that has changed somewhat, that word doesn't just talk about your words, but it's also talking about your walk. Talking about all that life encompasses. You see, God is warning us while we wait to be of the proper conduct, to live right, to walk right, to talk right. The question is, we ought to search what kind of lifestyle am I exhibiting to a world that's lost? What are they seeing in my life? Peter says, our lifestyle's to be holy. That is, set apart from the world. By living, acting like the world. We're in a sad day in our society today. I'll be honest, it is hard to find people who will honestly admit that they're sinners. Why, everybody that you may question. Says, well, I attend church. I go to church. I treat my neighbor right. They talk about those things. But apart from that, they live an godly life. Just because you go to church doesn't make you holy and right. But our slave Peter is saying we are to be set apart from this world. We're in the world, but we're not to be a part of this world. That's the question. Do I identify with a world that is going to be destroyed? Or does my lifestyle represent God in heaven? Peter says, while you're waiting, search your life. Search your heart. Make sure things are right in your life with God. But when you say, preacher, what's the big deal? Well, I'm glad you wonder. Verse 14, Peter says, therefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Peter said you ought to live your life such a way that when Jesus comes, he finds you without spot and blameless. He said that your life ought to exhibit Christ. Peter says, be diligent. That means put everything within you into living right for God. Give him your best. Give him your all. Some may say, as I said earlier, well, I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. What does it matter? Peter said you ought to give the Christian life the best you have, because one day he's going to look at your life. He's going to examine your heart. God to determine whether to let you into heaven or not. Because when you're saved, you aren't going to him. But he said he'll look at your life. Examine your motives. Examine your labor and work. He said if you want to be found, he said without spot and blame. I'll tell you what. I long for the Lord to come. I really do. I anticipate his return. But I'll tell you something that causes a little fear in my heart. Realizing there will come a time I'll give an account unto him. The one that loved me. The one that chose me. The one that saved me. I'll stand before him as he examines my works. And I've done. You know what? I want him to find me to where he could say, well done,
Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you desire that in your heart? I want to tell you, just say, good preacher, I just human, I fail on her, don't we all? Just say, what do I need to do? Ask him for forgiveness. Seek the face of God and say, Lord, I'm so ashamed. I'm so sorry for what I've done. Lord, would you help me to be right with you? That is my heart's desire. I want all in my life to be right with him when he returns. Peter says that is what we can do while we wait. We need to recognize God's purpose that we be godly and holy in our conversation when it comes. But you say, preacher, what is? I believe the second thing that we must do while we wait is we must rest in God's promises. Third is verse 12 and 13. Peter says, looking forward and acting under the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But he said, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth. Peter said, you got to realize there is coming a day that God will bring judgment on this earth. Talked about that some last week. There is coming a time that the Lord is going to rapture the church out of this old world. 7 years of tribulation will be on the earth. Christ will return after that, set up his kingdom, rule for 1,000 years. But then he's going to destroy this old earth by fire. And he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. That's what it says in the book of Revelation. And that's what Peter says here. But Peter says, saying that we look for him to come, looking for and hastening, hastening the coming of the day of God. Peter says, what we need to do is we need to hasten the coming of the day of God. Preacher, are you saying we can speed up the Lord's coming? No, Peter isn't saying that at all. That word hasten, it means to desire earnestly the coming of the day of God. You say, preacher, that was what Chris talked about last Sunday. He did. If now you are saying it again, I am saying that our heart, our desire ought to be. Lord, why won't you just come on? Why won't you just come get us out of this old wicked world? This old world is full of sin, sickness, sorrows, heartaches, disappointments, troubles of life. Lord, why won't you just come on the inside of this so well? Carry us home to be with you. Peter said that we are looking, longing, desiring that day. He said, hastening, earnestly desiring for the Lord to come. I realize God's working His timetable. I don't know when He's going to come. I'll be honest with you. After last Sunday service, I went home Sunday night, got in bed, and I said, Lord, you hadn't come today. But it'd sure be all wrong if you'd come while I slept, because I'm ready to go. I woke up Monday morning. One of the first things I said, Lord, you didn't come while I slept. But maybe today. Maybe it'll be today. I've done that every day this past week. I tried to keep that in my heart and my mind. Lord, just come on. Just come on. When Jesus told the disciples the model prayer, part of it, He said, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every time we pray that, say in our hearts, we're saying, Lord, come on. Come on. Come on, get us out of this old world. So we are to hasten the day of His return. But while we wait, we need to cling to the hope of heaven. Verse 14 again, He said, seeing that you look for such things, while you're looking for all of that, He says, verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Peter tells them, while you're waiting for the Lord to come, pray for and hasten His return. But he said, cling to the hope of heaven. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But I love what Peter added. He said, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Can I ask you a question today? Can you tell me one place on this earth wherein dwelleth righteousness? I could not think of a single place. There are some good places to visit, but they all have a dark side. They all have a sinful side to them. Well, what about Washington, D.C.? Well, there's no righteousness there. What about New York City? Pray then, none there either. What about all these other places? There's no righteousness. Oh, there's a few righteous people scattered all around, but there's no place that there dwelleth righteousness. But our Lord's preparing that kind of place. Our Lord's preparing a place. There'll not be any more sin. There'll not be any more billboards flashing alcohol and beer and those things. There'll not be any of the drugs that caused so much havoc in life. There'll be no prison houses. There'll be no hospitals. There'll be no funeral homes. There'll be no thing at all that causes heartache, sorrows. Because there'll be a city of righteousness. That don't mean much to this old world. But that sure does mean a lot to a child of God. That there is a place wherein dwelleth righteousness. One of these days, the Lord's going to come, get us out of this old world. We're going to say goodbye. You have it all. And we're heading home. What a time that is going to be. Peter says, live in light of that fact. Let that anchor your heart while the world gets more wicked every day. But then one final thing quickly. What do we do while we wait? We need to realize this time is a time of God's patience. Peter says in verse 15, and account, that means consider, realize, that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Peter said, realize that while you're waiting, God has given us opportunity to pray for sinners, to reach out, to touch lives and hearts for Him, that people might be saved by the grace of God. I believe that is why He hasn't come yet. Because He's still long-suffering. Not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. You see, that may be somebody in your family. That may be somebody you're friends with. That may be one of your co-workers. And God is saying, I'm coming. But right now I'm giving them opportunity to be saved. So while we're waiting, it ought to be on our heart every day. God, would you save somebody today? God, would you help me to be a light to somebody today? Help me when you open the door to be a witness for you. Somebody be saved. God gives us all kinds of opportunities day after day to let our lives shine for Him. Peter even goes on. And he says, like the Apostle Paul, even in his writings, says basically the same thing. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Paul was telling them at Philippi basically the same thing. God's working in your life. God is cleaning you up, making you more like Jesus. But he said God wants you to be a light in a dark world, shining for Him and for His glory. We're anxious. We're desiring. We're longing for the day that Jesus comes. But as of right now at this moment, He hasn't come. But He has given us some things to do while we wait. While we wait on His return, let's walk close to Him. While we wait on His return, let's cling to His promise. While we wait on His return, let's be a light to somebody for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Kevin, would you give us a song? We'll stand and we'll sing. That's the message of my heart. That is what the Lord said to share today. To share with you. I'll be honest with you. And I'm sure these other preachers would tell you the same. Sometimes God gives you messages. Man, it seems like it just so thrills your heart that you can't wait to get in the pulpit to deliver it, and then you deliver it. And then there's other messages. Seems like from the very start, the devil fights you, attacking your mind, attacking your thoughts, attacking your heart. He's done that this week. But I know this is what God wanted me to bring. I hope it challenges all of our hearts to search our lives, cling to His promises, be a light for the glory of God. I'm not going to do this, but I'm going to tell you what I did one time. I was preaching years ago about being a light for Jesus in this world. And I had everybody, I said, you remember at Kids Week, sang the little children's song, this little light, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I want to let it shine. And I was bold enough to get them to sing it with me. Some of them really little like this. Some wouldn't do it at all. And I made this statement to them. I said, if you're ashamed in this kind of a church setting, just to do that and say, I want to let my light shine for Jesus. I said, I dare you do it when you go out the doors. I want my light to shine for Him wherever I'm at. I'm going to let it shine till He comes, till He calls us home. Is there a need in your heart today? Maybe you need to draw a little closer while we stand, while we sing. I invite you to come to Him. 120.